Good morning, church. It is good to see everyone here in the house of the Lord, and I pray that as you made your way here this morning, you had an anticipation of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That should be our heart when we rise each morning. It should be the forethought, even when we go to bed at night. We should be thinking about Jesus. It seems right that certain people come and share their gifts with us, and I'm so thankful for those who do, so many. And it is not a small thing to be able to get up and maybe sing a song or lead in a prayer or just come and kneel before the throne. It's not a small thing. And it's something that brings honor and glory to our Lord. He doesn't look for perfection. He doesn't need perfection because he is perfection. So he's not looking for you or for me to be perfect in all our ways. But he does want us to be prepared. Part of our message today will be about that preparation. And one of the things that's coming up in February is we're going to be doing a class on Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5. It's a very interesting topic, and Pastor Ernie will be leading that. And we are really excited about it, and I hope that you can come and be a part of that. It's called Liberation Theology. So you might write that down and pray about that. It will run in probably approximately about 8 weeks. Materials will be provided for you. So think about that. We need to be prepared. And one of the ways that we prepared is we come like for Sunday school. If you're missing Sunday school, you're missing something really good, because we got some of the greatest teachers there are in the whole county. Probably in this whole state. Yeah, they do. And these teachers love the Lord. They're not just up there trying to get another badge for Sunday. They're up there telling people about Jesus. They're up there expressing their own walk, their own testimony, in which that's what we should be doing as well, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be testifying to the strength of the Lord in our lives each and every day? We shouldn't be getting up and just kind of stagger into the day. That's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to be prepared to meet the day, to encounter the day. Sometimes we have to attack the day. But whatever it is, wherever it is he has us to go, or whatever it is he has us to do, we can remember, like has already been mentioned, he is already there. You will go nowhere when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will go nowhere that he isn't. That he isn't. Now, there's places in our lives that we could go and we've never been before, and we'd be really uncomfortable there. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He's created everything, so wherever he's at, he's not afraid. Because he created it. I know that I've been in places where I looked and I'd say, wow, I don't know about this. Standing on the edge of a mountain or something, I don't know about this. But guess what? Jesus is not afraid. He actually tells us, do not be afraid. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, we have this precious voice of his. It's 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. It says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness. Now, he's telling us that if we do something right according to what God has called us to do, like Sister Betty told us and challenged us today about the commandments, you know that the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? So it's no small thing what we've heard in our ears today, that being resuscitated to us, that being reminded to us that we have an obligation. You cannot love the Lord and not keep his commandments. It's just not going to work. So if you think it is, you're wrong. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he tells us here, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness. Now that righteousness Let me tell you something about righteousness that you may not know. That righteousness, or that right relationship with Jesus Christ, is not your righteousness, even though we call it that. It is Christ's righteousness in us. You and I have no righteousness. None. We have not one iota of righteousness. What we have, if we've been blessed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, what we do have is His righteousness. And He's saying, if you're suffering for me, which is the righteousness, if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, listen to this, what He tells you. He said, for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I suffer, I don't feel too blessed. I don't. I don't like suffering. And I'm sure if I was to ask most of you, you'd say pretty much the same thing. I don't like to suffer anyway, either. But I'm not afraid of suffering. I have suffered, and I'm sure if I live long enough, I will suffer again. And I'm not afraid of that because Christ is with me. He goes on, listen what he says. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. So, what's he trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us here is that these things are present in the world, and they're coming your way. They're coming your way. He's not telling us this because he has nothing else to talk about, this suffering for his righteousness. And he's telling us, and do not be afraid. He's not telling us that we'll never be afraid. He's saying that we're going to be afraid. That's why he addresses this. He said, do not be afraid. Their intimidation. Do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. There is so much trouble in the world today, it's unbelievable. People can't even get along in their own families. The whole structure in which God has created the family is coming apart. The word says, what can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? What can they do? They can go into a panic and fear. That's what they can do. And they can do that better than anything else. This morning I was reading a passage verses I want to share with you out of Psalm. Now, to me, these are powerful words, and they're words to live by, because most certainly they are true, and most certainly they were inspired not by man, but by Jesus Christ himself. They're his words. The Lord says in John 14, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All the Word and all the Scripture is Jesus. It's Jesus. So when you talk about, when you see something says, and the Word says, you need to say, and Jesus says, because that's what it is. Now, a lot of the world is lost to the world because they don't have the Spirit to help interpret them. Without the Spirit of Jesus in you, you're not going to get it. You just will not. We must have the Holy Spirit indwell us that we understand what the Spirit of God is telling us through His Word, through His Son. You will not understand what Christ wants of you or what God wants of you through His Son until you have had His Son as your Savior. In Psalm 121, first two verses, and these are words I think that we all could live by, really. And this is what they say. They're awesome words. Awesome words. They're not just words spoken by some man who was having a good day or a bad day. They were words to inspire us into eternity. Because these words, when you're gone, guess what? These words will still be here. When I'm gone, these words will still be here. When mankind has exited this world, these words will still be alive within our Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what he says. He says, I will lift up my eyes. I will lift up my eyes. He wants us to acknowledge that he is high and exalted. That's why we look up. We look up because he's high and he's exalted. Most people say, why is he looking up there? There's nothing but tile on the ceiling and lights. If that's all you see, then you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you. Because I'm telling you, he is here right now with us. He has his loving arms around us, and he's trying to help us to understand our eternal nature. Where are we going? Our eternal nature is not heaven. Our eternal nature is hell. And he wants us to understand that so we don't have to experience that eternal nature. We experience the eternal nature of his righteousness. He goes on, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? That's a question. It's a question that should intrigue us to some degree. You should be thinking even now, what's that mean? Where does my help come from? Well, see, God has given us Jesus so we know specifically where our help comes from. It doesn't come from man. He's incapable. I am incapable of helping you. Now, I can encourage you. I can pray for you. But I'm incapable of helping you. But where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from you. There it is. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. You know, last week we talked about the Spirit of God, and during that time we talked about how God sent the Holy Spirit to us after Jesus said, I must leave, that the Lord, that God can send you another helper. When we pray and we ask, Lord, please help me, guess what we're doing? We're asking Jesus to help us because by his Spirit, he is our only help. If you want something from this world, maybe you do. Maybe you want something from the church. Maybe you want something for yourself from your spouse or your children or the government, whatever it might be. If you want help from something like that, you're not going to get it. The only true help, the only true helper is Jesus Christ. Don't go to the other places. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Guess what? He'll hear your voice and he'll answer it according to his will and purpose for your life. Now, I want us to go back to 1 Peter. I talked a little bit as the message began about preparation. I am fearful, and I have to ask the Lord to give me courage, because I am fearful that the church is not prepared for what's coming. They're not prepared. We're not prepared. We must be prepared. We must not treat this just like a Sunday get-together kind of thing anymore. This is where we come and we worship the King of Kings and we call upon his name. We call upon the name of Jesus. And you know what we do often do? You'll hear it in the prayers. You've already heard it this morning. We'll say, help me, Jesus. Have you ever asked Jesus to help you? Maybe he's going through some kind of struggle or some kind of trouble. And you said, help me, Jesus. The only help we have is Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus as your helper, you're calling on Jesus himself. Help me, Jesus, for you are my help. Now look into the hills and to the mountains from which comes my strength, and I will not be afraid. Will not be afraid. But we need to be prepared. The first chapter, well, the first book of Peter, first book, first chapter. I want to share a couple passages of scripture with you that I think is relevant today to what we're going through and what we're facing, what we're going to be facing, and what the world is already facing. And listen to these words beginning in verse 13. Now you need to listen carefully here, because this is not a time to be saying, "Well, I really don't understand all that stuff, so it really don't matter." If you don't understand it, you need to get somebody to help you clarify that. You come to me, I'll help you clarify that. Don't walk out of here thinking, "Well, that was nice, but I really didn't understand what he was saying." But listen to what he says. He says, "Therefore," when he says "therefore," when you see "therefore" in the Bible, get ready to be taught a lesson. Therefore, God wants to teach us. Listen to what he says. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Wow. That's an unusual thing, isn't it, for the church, who usually just comes and sits. Prepare your minds for action. What he's saying is that you must understand the word in such a way that it becomes your strength. The word spoken becomes your strength. It becomes your weapon. As a matter of fact, the sword of the Lord is his tongue. He speaks, and his words are like a sword. It cuts marrow and bone. Well, it does. Listen to what he says. Prepare your minds for action. If you go to the 12th chapter of Romans, you'll read these words. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We are putting too much garbage, too much junk in our minds. And you know what it does to us? Let me tell you what it does. It creates fear, but it also isolates us when we have those things. And it makes us like ice. We're just stiffened up, can't do nothing. That's what it does. We're incapable of doing what Christ tells us to do without him. So he says, keep this in mind. Do not conform any longer. Going back to Peter, first chapter, we read these words. Keep sober in spirit. Keep sober in spirit. So who is the spirit? Part of the Godhead. Who is the Spirit? He is the Blessed One. He is the Word. He is our Comforter. He is our Guide. The Spirit comes and gives us the power, gives us the strength to overcome sin. You can't overcome sin without the Spirit of God. You may think you can. You may think, "Oh, I'm a good guy. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't look at pornography. I don't run through the bars and the places where they sell marijuana and all the drugs. I don't do any of that stuff. So I must be a good person, and Jesus must recognize that in me. I really don't need anything else, do I?" But he's telling us here, you need that spirit. But what's it? Because what does it do? Keep sober in spirit. Listen, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our hope is Jesus Christ and him alone. Our hope is that when the revelation of Jesus is revealed, that Spirit will introduce us. It will be already introduced to him. We won't have to struggle. We won't have to be afraid, because we will already know him. But if you don't know him, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to be really disappointed in yourself. You'll probably be disappointed in your pastor, your parents, your friends, your children, because nobody told you about it, and you didn't know anything about it, so you just perished. It must be somebody else's fault. He's talking here not of a community. He's talking individually. Listen to what he's saying. Keep sober in spirit. Keep sober in spirit. How? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were years in your ignorance. Now, if I was to come to you and say, you're ignorant, you'd probably hit me. Because people really don't understand the term. Ignorance is not it's not some profane word. Ignorance just means you don't know. How many of everybody knows everything? Yeah. Oh, I know everything. So I can't be ignorant of anything because I know everything. There's people who think like that all the time. But we do not have that capacity. We're ignorant on many things, aren't we? We should be willing to admit that. And when we come to the altar, when we get in our secret place to pray and to God the Father, we should be asking Him, Lord, please let me not walk in the midst of ignorance, but let my mind be sober in the Spirit. Do not let my mind be conformed to this world no longer. Give me the strength and the courage to say, no more. I walk in this no more. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you. Who is that, the Holy One? Jesus Christ. He called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Holiness. Now, don't be confused by what he's trying to say here. You're not going to be perfect. I don't care how close your walk is to the Lord. Only He is perfect. Holiness is about being set apart. That's what it's about. It's not about you trying to make yourself perfect. Oh, I read all those books. I've read all the scriptures this week. I prayed 17 times. I even put some extra money back for the offering. I did all these things. I helped my neighbor take the trash can around. I did all kinds of things. Did all kinds of things. But is that truly holiness? He said that we're to be holy. He said, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We call ourselves Christians. And we don't have any problem saying that, do we? Oh, I love Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I don't do anything wrong. I am absolutely holy. That means I'm perfect. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you're being sanctified, set apart for God's purpose. So you're not just set apart. You're set apart for a purpose, like I read earlier. Therefore, prepare yourself. You need to be prepared for whatever that service is, whatever that gift is. There's too many people in the church today don't want to utilize their gifts to nothing. Do you know that everybody has the gift that Jesus Christ, when He comes into your heart, everybody is given the gift of stewardship. They are given the gift of giving. That's a gift you have. Now, you may say, I just give because I got it, you know, I'm one of the good guys. The gift of giving, the gift of stewardship, doing what's best, not just for yourself, which that's like most of us. We don't want to think about the neighbor down the street who's sick. Pastor Ernie talked this morning about a neighbor of his. Nobody's going to see those neighbors. They don't care whether he dies in his bedroom by himself without Jesus. We don't care about that. That's why he talks about the work. Prepare yourself for action. Prepare your minds to be able to actually do something. And you don't have to be afraid. You know why? Because Jesus is always with us. Do you believe that? Yeah. Jesus doesn't leave us. Jesus didn't forsake us. So when he brings to us, he says, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, you should be set apart. God is holy, holy, holy. One holy cannot do it. It takes holy, holy, holy. When you read Revelation, it says the cherubim are flying around him, and all they say all day long is, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. There's not enough holies. He is not like us. Don't think that he is, or don't think that you're like him, because you are not. We are just sinners saved by grace, and by his mercy you have another opportunity to come to worship him. You have another opportunity to come and bow the knee to him. You have another opportunity to come and praise him, because it's already been mentioned, he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of your praise. Be holy as he is holy. Be set apart as he's been set apart. God is not like the world. And when you're like the world, guess what? You're not being holy. You're being unholy. Search the word. Be sober in the mind of what the word teaches us and gives to us. Abundantly. Abundantly. He gives more than we deserve. You could not in all your life come to a place where you deserve his mercy. You could live a perfect life, you could do everything righteous and everything perfect, but you're still a sinner. And without Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is none. Don't think that you can. Don't think that you can walk out of here today and say, well, I went to church today, surely I'm going to heaven. If you're like thinking like that, then you're ignorant. I'll just tell you right up front. But if you come and you say, I want to know this Jesus. That's what he'll do. He'll speak to you when maybe no one else will. Don't forget that. I try not to watch too much news, but every once in a while I'll slip on some kind of event that's saying what's going on. And there's a lot of things going on in the Middle East. And guess what? We may think, well, I'm over here on holiday. I'm kind of protected from all that. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen there in the Middle East where Jerusalem is, because that's where Jesus is coming back. He says, I'm going to touch down at the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split from east to west. There'll be a valley, a chasm that's formed when he touches his feet to this crippled earth. And you know why? You know why it splits? Because of his radiance and his beauty and his power and his holiness. It can't withstand him. So it has to flee from him. The troubled world, the crippled world, the sin-filled world, it splits away from him. It can't even hold his beauty. It didn't split because there's nothing else to do. It splits because it cannot handle him. We cannot handle him. You cannot handle him. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, he helps you to understand. You don't have to walk around like a drunk. You walk around sober. You keep your mind sober because he's coming. He's coming. And if you're not prepared to meet him, you want to be, you come to this altar. Because see, this altar is not my altar or your altar. It is his altar that he's built for you. You come to his altar and you kneel before him and you ask him, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I want to be holy like you are holy. I want to be righteous like your son is righteous. I want to walk in your word. And not in the ways of the world. Now, I know many of us have challenges. And I can look at some of you. I don't know all of you because, praise be to God, there's a lot of new folks coming. Hallelujah. Not new folks, but just different. They're the same folks. They're just different to us. They're different to me. But it doesn't change the fact that you need Jesus. And guess what? I need him too. We need Jesus. We come here, and we have an opportunity. Come to the altar. The pastor and I is going to come down. We'll be down front. If you want us to pray with you, we will. If you want to pray alone, that's okay too. If you don't want to come at all, if you just want to pray in your seat, you can do that. We're not forcing you to do anything. We only want you to do what God wants you to do. We only want you to hear what he has to say to you. I've already heard from the words of several people today telling me and telling some others what Jesus is doing. This is what Jesus said to me the other day. This one person came to me. I have to do this because this is what Jesus told me to do. And you know what I told? Do it. You don't need the pastor's permission. Do it. Just do it. If you want an accurate assessment of that word, two words, then it's not Nike. Yeah, or Reebok or whatever it is. I don't know. Don't care, really. But if you want to do it, this is the place to do it. We're so glad that you're here. We pray that the rest of your day will be filled with the peace of Jesus. We're going to have an invitation hymn. We're going to have actually a video. It's a really, really cool video. And we're going to have the altars open. And then Pastor Ernie will bring the benediction. And then we'll be off to our world, hopefully in sober manners. Yeah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we love you, not like you could love us or that you love us, but Lord, we endeavor to love you with all the love that we can muster up. And Lord, whatever that looks like, sometimes I'm not certain exactly what our love for you looks like because we can't see you or touch you or feel you. Maybe sometimes we wonder if we love you at all. But Lord, we love you. And we thank you for loving us. Lord, whoever is troubled today for whatever reason, Lord, may they just humble themselves before you. Not be concerned about the time or where they need to be. Who of us that is so starving that we need to get to lunch? Good heavens. We need you. We need the bread of life. We need the living water. So be with us, O Lord, to guide and direct us. We praise you, and we ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.